Well, welcome. We are so glad that you have joined us for Back to Church Weekend, whether you're joining us online today, or maybe it's your first time that you actually hear, or maybe the first time in a long time since you've been to church. And of course, if you're already one of the crew around here, we're glad you're here also. And since some of you might be new, if you got a program today, if you look inside of there, there's actually a sermon outline that you can follow along. If you're trying to figure out how much longer is this guy going to be talking by the time I get to the end, I'll be done. You're welcome to do that. There's also a QR code in that program. If you'd like to follow along electronically on your phone or your device, you're welcome to do that. And if you're a guest here today, I just want to let you know that it doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey. It's okay for you to be where you are. We just want you to know that you matter to God, you matter to us, and you're welcome here. We just want to see if we can be an encouragement to you in your walk with Christ, probably because life can be pretty challenging and stressful, and it can be difficult when you have to navigate that all on your own. But when you can walk with others together, it can be so helpful, and it can make all of the difference. And being a part of a church family doesn't mean that you have it all figured out. And even though no church is perfect, it is meant to be a place where we experience God's love through a community of faith. And so it's about showing up, building authentic relationships, and then discovering the hope and the healing and the purpose that Jesus has for every one of our lives. And that's when we become better together. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I have in life. I think there are some things that are just better together. For example, how about Oreo cookies and milk? Can I get an amen? That's better together. I mean, Oreos are good and milk is good, but Oreos and milk are so good together. What about movies and popcorn? What is it about that? I mean, the movie could kind of be mediocre, but when you add some popcorn to it, it's going to be okay. How about peanut butter and, no, it's peanut butter and chocolate. I mean, I'm going for the Reese's thing right there. Or how about beaches or mountains and sunsets? That's amazing. And I know Jeff mentioned something about the beginning, but how about bacon and anything? It doesn't matter what you put with bacon. It's going to get better if there's bacon. And so what might be good by itself can actually become amazing when it's together in the right combination. And really, that's what the church is supposed to be about. Do you know that right out of the gate, the very first Christ followers recognized that they were going to be better together? Now, we know that the church got its start about 2,000 years ago, and it was on the day of Pentecost. And when it started, there were probably only about 120 people at that time. But that 120 became over 3,000 people in one day. And so the question would be, well, what's going to happen next? How would this community of faith, how would it organize? How would it operate? And you already heard today in Taylor's meditation, in Acts 2:42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, because they didn't have the Bible then, and then to fellowship. That's what we're going to look at today. But then the breaking of bread like we do in prayer. That's kind of how we've modeled our church service. Well, that word fellowship in the Greek is the word koinonia, and it means a shared life or a partnership. And so it's more than just time hanging out or social gatherings. It means a togetherness that has a deep connection, and it requires people to be together. So in verse 44, it says, all the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Sounds like it's all going to be just beautiful, right? Well, I'm not sure what comes to mind when you think of the church, because all of us are going to have some thoughts. But I'm pretty sure that at some point, we've all struggled with some imperfect church experiences. Now, honestly, I struggle to figure out which word to put in that blank, because I could put in some other words, couldn't I? Words like painful, frustrating, awkward, discouraging. In fact, I'm guessing that almost everybody here today has had some kind of disappointing experience with a church. And that's, of course, because there have never been any perfect churches. I mean, even from the beginning. You know that most of the New Testament was actually written to address problems and issues that were being faced by these groups of new believers that had gathered into churches. And what we discover is that these folks were facing some pretty serious issues. I mean, there was division and there was sin. There was false teaching. There was legalism. There was disorderly worship. There was sometimes a lack of love in church. And even some spiritual laziness that had to be addressed. But in every situation, the solution was the same. Stay focused on Christ. Continue to try to become more like Him. And then try to interact as much as you can with love and humility and grace. Now, I want to take a little poll this morning and ask you if everyone would please participate. Because I'm just kind of interested in finding out how many of you here today have ever had a bad experience eating at a restaurant. I would imagine every hand. We've all had a bad experience at a restaurant. But I'm also wondering, when that happened, have you ever thought to yourself in that moment, you know what, I'm never going to eat in another restaurant ever again, right? You didn't think that, did you? You just decided you were probably going to dine somewhere else. But what I've actually found is that far too many people have actually given up on church altogether. And it's when their imperfect experiences were only with maybe one or two, maybe three more, but not all of them. And just so you know, maybe set expectations, you're not going to find any perfection here. As a church, we have flaws, we have some quirks, we have our own set of unique idiosyncrasies. It probably has a lot to do with who's the senior pastor around here, but you know what? That's okay, because we're not here to try to model perfection. We're here to try to point people to Jesus, connect people with Jesus. And, you know, because we aren't perfect, that means we're actually perfect for people who aren't perfect, which includes all of us. And so when you think about the church, I just want you to think like this. The church is made up entirely of imperfect human beings who are in the process of learning what it means to follow Jesus. And they're all at different levels of spiritual maturity. Some have it down way better than others, some not so much. And so it makes me to think, I often have said, hey, do you know what is the best thing about the church? It's the people, right? It's what makes it awesome. And we have some really incredible people here who are godly people. They're doing great on their journey to become more like Christ. But you know what the worst thing about the church is? It's also the people. And so I got to warn you that there are some people around here who still have a few rough edges. And we're trying to work together. But the problem is, I think sometimes we've come to see the church as this religious thing that we have to do. And I want to remind you today, church isn't some religious hoop that God intends for you to jump through in order to somehow make Him happy. Do you know the church is actually His gift to us to be an encouragement to us spiritually and to also help us in our spiritual journey, because heaven knows we're going to need it. And so really, the church was not instituted to become a religious duty. It's designed to enhance our spiritual growth while at the same time providing growth and encouragement and accountability. And it makes all the difference when we start to recognize it for what it actually is. It's like a spiritual lifeline. It's a gathering of fellow spiritual sojourners. And it's important mainly because all of us were created for connection. You know, from the very beginning, God designed for us to need relationships. In Genesis, God actually said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And He wasn't just talking about marriage. He was really talking about a deep spiritual need of human beings. And that's because all of us have been made in the image of a relational God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that means that we're wired for community, not isolation. We're meant to be able to connect with God, and then that connection with Him allows us to experience deeper connection with other people. Now, did you know that our Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, he actually agrees with God? That's probably good to have our Surgeon General agree with God. And we know that because in 2023, he detailed the significant, risk that either loneliness or lack of community poses to our physical and mental health. And he said it includes risks like cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. It's even comparable, he said, in health risk to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. And he basically reiterated exactly what God said when he declared loneliness and social isolation as a public health crisis and an epidemic. And community is the antidote. Because here's what he also said. Community is a powerful source of life satisfaction and life expectancy. It's where we know each other, where we help each other, and we find purpose in contributing to each other's needs in each other's lives. And he even urged individuals and communities to prioritize strengthening social connections and to develop strategies for fostering belonging, which is exactly what the church does. And that's why, really, belonging to a church community provides a lot of benefits. There are actually some physical benefits that go along with that. Because people that are involved in faith communities are statistically more likely to avoid destructive habits. And so they just live, you know, healthier lifestyles, which leads to greater longevity. Studies have actually shown that, on average, regular churchgoers live longer than those who don't participate in a faith community. Want to live longer? Go to church. And then there's some mental benefits. I mean, just the habit of you sitting and listening and hopefully contemplating and thinking about sermons or studying scripture or discussing faith with others, it engages critical thinking, your memory, and your focus, and it leads to sharper minds. And then there are emotional benefits that go along as well. When we worship together and we listen to biblical teaching, it trains the mind to see life through God's promises rather than through fear and despair, which most of the world, that's what they're seeing, fear and despair. Well, that's just going to result in a more hope-filled perspective in life, not to mention the care and the comfort that's available at a church. The church is one of the best places to be a safe place to grieve and to be prayed for and to receive support during hard times. And then, of course, there's spiritual benefits. Regular worship and teaching and communion can draw us closer to Christ and help us develop a stronger relationship with God. That's really what we want to do. And then when you add others to walk alongside you, it helps you to stay faithful and probably more on fire for God. There's an old story some of you may have heard about a man who stopped going to church. And he didn't make a big deal about it, but he just kind of slowly drifted away. Well, one cold evening, his pastor decided to stop by and make a visit. Well, the man welcomed him in. It was kind of awkward, and they sat by the fireplace kind of in silence. And after a few minutes, the pastor got up and he picked up some fire tongs and he grabbed a single glowing coal and he took it out and he set it aside on the hearth. And the both of them just watched as the coal slowly dimmed and turned gray. And still, there are no words that have been spoken. And a few minutes later, the pastor picked the coal up again and placed it back into the fire. And within moments, guess what happened? It started to glow again. It was bright. It was hot. Well, the man kind of looked over at the pastor and said, "All right, Pastor, I'll be at church on Sunday morning." Because you know what? Alone, we tend to cool down. But together, we can stay fired up. And that's the power of connection. That's the kind of belonging that God really designed for us. And when we isolate ourselves, we miss out on one of God's greatest gifts, one another. True connection helps us carry burdens and celebrate victories and grow in our faith. I call it the synergy of the saints. Because when God's people get together, there's incredible synergy. And you know, Jesus seems to say as much when he stated in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, he said, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And Jesus is making a very important point here. He's saying that no gathering is too small so as to not matter to God. And so whether that gathering is just in a living room or it's gathered around a table at a coffee house or if it's in a worship center like this, Jesus promised to be with us when we come together with him at the center. And there's a kind of a formula in your notes there that I think he was really getting at. He wanted us to understand you plus me plus Jesus equals greater spiritual strength in our lives. And it's interesting, Ecclesiastes is an Old Testament book of wisdom. And what's interesting is the importance of relationships that are given in this discussion of wisdom. And so we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And then an interesting, he throws in the statement, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, I have a single wooden dowel here today, and it isn't very thick, and it's going to snap, it's going to break with relative little pressure. And I would just say, folks, that's what it's like when we try to do life on our own. It makes us more vulnerable, more easily broken. And so what about two dowel rods? What if we picked up two of those together? And let's see if I can. It's the fourth time I've done this. See if I got enough strength. It's a little harder, but it's still possible to see those break. They can be snapped. But you know what? When you take three dowel rods and you bind them together, I would say suddenly it's a whole different story. Because I'm not faking it. I'm putting a lot of pressure. And I tried it a lot of times before I did the service, actually, just to see. When there are three, the power of that three is amazing. And that is what I think is the power of a faith community. And an example of that would be Brianna. She was a sharp young professional woman. She came from a family that was non-Christian, and they were very verbally abusive. And when she came to Christ, her family literally wrote her off. And so who would her family be now? Well, her family became her connect group at her church. And that group became her strength and her encouragement. And when she lost her job, it was that group that kept encouraging her. It was that group that kept giving her job leads. And when she finally got hired, it was actually the company of someone who was in the group. See, we actually need each other because we're better together. And you may not need a group today, but I guarantee you the day's coming when you'll need a group. And actually, there could be someone today who needs to be in a group with you. And the reason that's so important is because when you're part of a church, you're more likely to experience what it's like to be one anothered. Have any of you here ever been one anothered? It's actually a good thing, if it's a biblical thing, because there are over 50 one another commands in the New Testament that give a picture of what it being a part of the church should be like. Now, we're going to take a look at some of those. And a couple of them are found in the book of Hebrews that was written to the early church during a time of suffering and persecution. And those early believers, they were being tempted to quit gathering with other Christians in community because of the hardships and the pressure that was going on. And so the author actually gives them specific instructions to help them stay strong. And it includes a couple of these one another. So let's read it in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer says, hey, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It kind of does my heart good because almost from the beginning, believers have been tempted to give up on getting together in church. And sometimes it's out of distractions or discouragement or disappointment. But the writer of Hebrews makes it clear that not meeting together should never be an option, because it's essential for staying strong spiritually. And then he mentions some of the strength that we get from that. For example, in the church, we get to actually spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, what's that talking about? Well, I'll just share. To me, being part of the church means being a part of a loving and supportive community of folks who are really looking for more than just surface relationships as we walk through life and seek the Lord together. And it actually includes not only holding each other up, which we'll need, but also being able to speak the truth in love and holding each other accountable. And we need that. In fact, sometimes I think you need someone who will tell you what you need to hear rather than what you want to hear. Because a lot of times people tell you exactly what you want to hear, but you need people to tell you what you need to hear. And let me just say, I've gotten that here. And it's been an incredible blessing in my life. Now, we need that, but also in the church, you know, we get to encourage one another. And we're going to need to be encouraged, because your spiritual journey is going to be more like a marathon than a sprint. Kudos to any of you that can run 10Ks and 20Ks and marathons, because it's hard. It's hard. And all of us in our walk with Christ, there's going to be times when we're going to need some encouragement. Hey, stay with us. It's worth it. And I will just tell you, it's been so helpful for me to have some folks who've gone through hard times themselves walking with me and encouraging me. And it's why I think someone said one time, and rightly so, if you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, you need to go together. And the reason being better together works is because a one another requires proximity. You got to be around people. You got to know them and connection with those people. And so the early church didn't gather out of habit or obligation. They gathered because they knew they needed each other. And in the same way, we're called to be intentional about connecting and being consistent in our participation in church. And so true community means more than just attending church when it's convenient. It's about making a decision to consistently show up and then pour into the lives of other people as much as we've received. You see, it's in church, when we're in groups together, where we're going to find opportunities to serve one another in love. Now, I'd like to ask, if and when you get knocked down, is there someone, as it said in Ecclesiastes, who's going to help you get back up? If you were in an accident today and you couldn't shop for yourself, is there someone you know who would shop for you? If you were sick and maybe you couldn't take care of your kids, is there someone who would care for them while you're getting well? If you went to the hospital, is there someone who would come and visit and pray with you? And the answer is, if you're in a connect type of a group that's doing life together, you'll find that there. Because you're going to find people that are also going to help you carry one another's burdens. And I asked some of our church family, I said, hey, when you think of the church, what does that mean to you, what it being a part of it? And one of our folks said this: my wife passed away 3.5 years ago. We'd been married for 54 years. And her passing was unexpected and sudden. And they said, my church family stood by me and stood at my side at the worst period of my life and continues to support me. And then there was a single mom who wrote this: what stands out to most to me is that when our family was going through some very dark days, my kids' Sunday school teachers would consistently mention to me that they were praying for us. And she said, I felt so encouraged by that and could remain hopeful that things were going to get better. And she says, I truly believe our family is a testament to the power of a praying church. Because when you're part of a church, it also means that you get to pray for one another. And someone else in our church family shared this. They said, hey, what being a part of ACC means to me is that last summer, I got to tell all my nurses and the oncology floor at Penrose Hospital that I had an army of people praying for me during my cancer treatments. Now, obviously, if we're going to interact with one another, that we'll also get to forgive one another. Because there'll be times when we either offend or hurt others, or we get offended and hurt others. And when that happens, fortunately in the church, we're empowered by the grace we've received from God to be able to extend that grace to others so that in the end, we can love one another. And I love what one of our folks said. They said, being a part of a church means being a part of something bigger than myself. I don't have any family, they said, and so I look forward to attending services on Sundays. I have a church family that loves me. And folks, you know why it's so important to be a part of a church? Is because we're better together, because when we get together, we get it together better. We've got help. We've got encouragement. We've got support. We just get it together better. In fact, this whole sermon was really could be summed up in a single sentence. When you get together, you get it together better. And that's why you need the church and the church needs you. And when we commit to authentic community, we're saying yes to the kind of transformation that can only happen in the context of real people doing real life together. And what that means is we don't just attend, we belong. And we don't just visit, we invest. And being a part of a community isn't about convenience. It's about a calling to a heavenly family. And so if you're here today and you don't have a church home, I would want you to encourage you to consider making this your church home. Because this church is not a building, it's a family where we love and support and encourage one another, where life can be shared, where we pray together, and where we grow in our faith. And so if you haven't already, please consider making this your church home. And then I'd encourage you to take a step to get connected into one of our connect groups. And Jeff, who you saw up here at the beginning of the service, he's our discipleship pastor. He'll be out in the foyer. We have a connect booklet that can help you find some groups. And just take that step today. And let's start walking on this journey together. We believe that you will not regret it if you allow yourself to get connected. What I'd also want to do this morning is just encourage you to consider serving in one of our local mission efforts as well. We want to serve our community and the world. And in 2 weeks, on a Saturday afternoon, we're doing something called Super Saturday, where we've come together for a few hours just to do service projects for our community. And when you come together to serve others with a group of others in our community, it reflects God's love to those around us. There's something powerful about it. But as we come to a close today, I realize again, some of you maybe were invited and you came and we appreciate you coming. But when you think about, can I get involved in a church? There's some barriers that you're having to kind of step over because of those past experiences, maybe some past hurts that you've gone through. And so as we close today, what I'd like us to do is just pray for you. If you're hurting, if you're struggling, if there's been a situation in the past that has caused you to want to avoid the church rather than be a part of the church. And so can we do that this morning? Let's take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for the church because of what it has meant in my spiritual journey. I have brothers and sisters in Christ, some fathers and mothers, people who have loved me and cared for me and helped me live my faith out. And God, I know that's what you want, but I know also that there's a lot of people who've been hurt in church situations. And maybe it was hard for them to really even believe in you, let alone be a part of a church. And God, if that's true, I pray that you'd touch those folks today with your love and your grace. Help remind them that that's not what you wanted or what you desired. Because the church is made up of a lot of imperfect people. And that's not an excuse, just a reality. But I thank you for this church and for the people that love and live and serve here. And I pray that you'd help those that maybe are needing to find a place to call home, to be a church family, that this could be a place and a space where they could do that. So give them courage. Give them grace. Give them wisdom and discernment as they seek to make their way. And that God, you would just continue to be faithful as you've always been and always will be. And we ask and pray that in Jesus' name.